Question 141 of the Catechism. And reading from Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew chapter 6. Brother Justin started us out by telling us why we should pray and what things we ought to pray for. What are things that we can pray for? We can pray. Oh, yes? Rhea. Sorry, I pointed in the same direction of two people. Salvation of the lost? Absolutely. Miss Nancy? Our needs. And the answer of the catechism is we can pray for all things, right? All things that are needful for our physical body and our soul. Now, that might seem like an overly simple thing, but we don't pray for all of the things that we even need, right? I'm constantly amazed in my own life when I'm struggling with a particular sin or doubts or whatever it might be, and I haven't even prayed about it. I feel myself in deep anguish, and I'm like, well, I haven't even asked the Lord to help me in this particular situation. And that's a common affliction of God's people. Now, as we come here today, I assume, that everybody in this room, to some degree or another, are a praying people. Every Christian, if we're born again, we have somewhat of the breath of prayer in our souls. But I also know another thing about every person in this room, that you don't pray like you ought to pray. And so hopefully these questions going through the Lord's Prayer will help us in that. Brother Joey talked to us last week. You might have talked to us yesterday, I don't know. About what it means to address Him as our Father who art in heaven. We have two things there that ought to encourage us significantly in prayer. One is He's our Father. We have a familial relationship with Him. And just as Christ tells us, as we don't refuse good gifts to our children, God gives good gifts to His children when they ask. I heard this week, listening to sermons, something like a wonderful quote that says that God has never refused a request in prayer only because it was too great of a request. He might refuse it for other reasons. We might be trying to consume something upon our sinful desires. But God doesn't refuse our prayers just because they're too great of a prayer to be given. Paul tells us that He gives us far above all that we even ask or think. And today we come to the first petition, which I think is the cornerstone of the entire Lord's Prayer. And question 141, it's a simple question. What is the first petition, right? The first petition is, hallowed be your name. Now, as we think of those words, it's kind of amazing to me that even in the ESV, we have the word hallowed coming over into our modern language and our modern context. It's not a word that I've maybe ever heard in normal language. Maybe when we were in a King James-only church, we might have heard it in normal language, but not anymore. What does the word hallowed mean?
Honored.
Holy?
Savored.
What's that?
Savored with a sacredness to it.
Okay, yeah. And all of these have the same kind of idea of holy. The root word here is the same root word that we get the word holy from, sanctified. Saint is hagios, to be holy. And I would say maybe consecrated is a good word. Set apart. We're asking God to be hallowed. It might seem in our versions, when we read hallowed be your name, that it's kind of like a pronouncement, that we're saying, God, your name is hallowed. It is sanctified. But we're really petitioning God here. We're praying for His name, His character, His person to be set apart and known. Now, the Catechism is going to go into when it asks what this means, it's going to go into a very deeply personal suggestion of what hallowed be your name means, but it also has a corporate and a global level to it. When we pray, hallowed be your name, how does that prayer affect the world? Or how ought we to pray that with the world in mind? Absolutely. And implied in that is that this world doesn't hallow the name of God, right? This world is a place that defames the name of God, that isn't thankful for His good gifts. The world is a place where God's name is anything but hallowed. And we pray in this petition, we can think on a global level, God, we pray that the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the water covers the sea. That you would be honored like your great name deserves to be honored. Under this petition, we could put in global missions and pray that our missionaries would spread the fame of God's name, the hallowedness, the sacredness of our Savior and our Creator throughout the world. And we can pray the same thing for our country, couldn't we? For our leaders, as we're told to in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We can pray the same thing for our church. This would be known as a place where God's name is hallowed and not man's. God is set apart. And not just our own wishes. We're praying that God would be honored in the world in this first petition. But getting to the personal level, notice what it says. It says, in this, we are asking that you would grant to us first to know you rightly and worship, praise, and magnify your almighty goodness, justice, mercy, and truth, which shine in all your works. Also, we are asking you to direct our whole life, thoughts, words, and works to the end that your most holy name would not be reproached by us, but rather renowned with honor and praises. So first, notice it's to know who God is. It's something I haven't thought about a whole lot. When I pray, Father, I pray that your name would be hallowed, we're asking Him, God, I wish that I would know you rightly. Because if we don't know Him rightly, if we don't know His attributes, we don't know what He is like, we can't truly hallow His name, right? If I think that God is a God of my own imagination, who desires in my own sinful pleasures, the God that I'm praying to, wishing for His name to be hallowed, isn't the God of the Bible, right? And our understanding of who He is will reflect everything that we pray for. If I think that my God is the God of the hyper-prosperity gospel, I'm going to think for His name to be hallowed is for me to amass as much stuff as possible. This is what Kenneth Copeland thinks. He thinks the richer he gets, the more God's name is hallowed, because that's what his God wants. He wants physical prosperity. The more we get to know God, the more we pray rightly. The more we want His name to be hallowed, and the more we know what that really means. It stops being just an ethereal concept, and we know. We know His justice is to be praised, His love, His mercy, and His truth. Jeremiah 9:23 says this. This is quoted in 1 Corinthians as well. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, says the Lord. We boast that we know the Lord, and did you notice that we know what to pray for from that? God delights in justice, in mercy. He delights in righteousness on the earth and loving kindness. And we can pray for those things because in those things, God is glorified and magnified. What other text can we think of that knowing God is highlighted for us. John 17:3. What does that say, brother? Yes. This is eternal life, that we might know you. And this is the desire of all of God's people, that we would know God better. You might recall this is what Moses' prayer was to God in Exodus chapter 34. Actually, in Exodus chapter 33, he says, Lord, show me your glory. And he says, I will. And how do we see God's glory displayed? In Exodus 34, in verse 5, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Moses sees God's glory mostly in the sermon that he gave to Moses, where he says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and their children's children to the third and fourth generation. Does anybody know how Moses responded to hearing that? It says, Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. He praised God for what he did. In verse 8, I think I see people looking for it. It's in verse 8 that it says that. And this is the primary start of this prayer. If we say, hallowed be your name, it implies that we need to know his name in our own heart. We ought to know him, and it should cause us to praise. Secondly, we're asking that God would guard us against profaning his holy name. So when I pray, God, hallowed be your name, already I know in my heart that I have the capability by my own actions and attitudes in my life to not bring honor and sanctity to the name of God, but to really profane it. And I'm asking him, when I say, hallowed be your name, to protect me from that sin. Psalm 141 says, O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me, give ear to my voice when I call you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we should be cognizant of our own sinfulness and asking God to protect us from that. Can we think of any other scripture that has a prayer that God would protect us from our own sinful attitudes and nature? Brother.
And then it says in verse 8, present that to your governor, will he accept you or show you favor?
Yes.
There's a clear application that we ought to be seen as more devoted to God than anything else in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, and you're right, brother. And so we ought to pray for that end. Once again, we so easily forget that. We want to put all these ideas in practice, but we don't pray them. And Christ has given us this prayer for that particular purpose. Do we have any other scripture that we can think of? Of Psalm 69. And there's probably many more. These are just two that I've thought of. Psalm 69 in verse 5. It's difficult because this is a messianic psalm, but it's meant for the people of God to know and pray as well. It says, O God, you know my folly. The wrongs that I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. I think this is a wonderful prayer to start your morning when you know you're going to be interacting with the world. God, I pray that your name isn't dishonored through me by my actions. I pray you would guard me from that. And it reminds me of David as well when the angel of the Lord was destroying Jerusalem and he cries out, Lord, this is my sin, but as for these sheep, what have they done? He prays that they would not be punished because of his own iniquity. Thirdly, we're asking that God would magnify his own name. Notice, not just that he would guard us from our sinfulness, but in a positive way. The catechism says, we are asking you to direct our whole life, thoughts, words, and works to the end that your name not be reproached, but rather renowned with honor and praises. We're asking God that we just wouldn't avoid sin, but that we would engage in activity that really does honor and glorify him. We would pray that God, when I go out today, that I wouldn't shut my mouth when opportunity comes for the gospel to be presented. You wouldn't allow me to sin, but that I would actually go out and do good to my neighbor. That I'd pray for my brothers and sisters when the Spirit strikes me instead of just putting it off till later. These are the things contained in this prayer. Can we add anything else to this? And hallowed be your name that we're praying for here. Miss Rhea. Probably. Ephesians 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is his immeasurable greatness of his power toward you who believe, according to the working of his great might. That's a wonderful example, Rhea. It's a wonderful example of praying, hallowed be your name, that we might know God better, right? Anything else today? We read this at our prayer meeting on Friday, but in Colossians chapter 1, Paul has a very similar prayer. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, he says, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, again, praying that we'd increase in the knowledge of God, and that flows from that, good works. So, is there anything else we can think of to add to this? Went through hallowed be your name a little quicker than I thought I would. That's all right. What I'd like to end this with is that this prayer is the key to all of our prayers in all of our prayer life. When we pray, Father, hallowed be your name, if anything that follows after that contradicts his name being hallowed in our hearts, then it's not a good prayer to be praying, right? God's name being hallowed is central to everything that we should think and do as Christian people, and our prayers conform to it. Do we have any other questions or comments? Yes, Miss Rhea. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He was actually talking about like prayer in school and how that it shouldn't. It's good that it's not in school.
Yeah.
Because we're either Satan's our father or God's our father. So do you agree with that? Would that apply with this? That like people like say in a school setting, like where you have a lot of people who are lost praying, like hallowed be the Father, be God is a good father.
I think that you run into a lot of problems thinking that the government or any other institution should be running the worship of our children. I think you run into problems with that. John Gerstner, maybe. Is that who you're thinking of? Maybe. Yeah. Yes. Right. I would tend to agree with him on that.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. I wouldn't make it an absolute rule, though, that it couldn't be, but I tend to think it probably is not a good idea. Anything else today? All right. Well, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we come before you in the name of your Son. We thank you for helping us and guiding us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a model prayer for us to know how to pray, because we're so led astray in our hearts and our minds by various things. God, we pray that your name would be hallowed today. I pray that in Redeemer Covenant Church today that we would learn who you are to a greater degree, that we might love you more. I pray that you would spread the gospel throughout the world today. We pray that your glory would be known from the farthest edges of the earth. We pray in our own personal lives, God, that you would guard us from sin against our brothers and sisters today. You'd guard our thoughts and our words and our actions. And more than that, God, that you would guide us to do good to one another, to stir one another up to love and good works. Father, we thank you. We pray you be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen.